Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. I'm Alex Davis, a member of the Del Rey Star Wars editorial team, and before we get going, a word of caution. These conversations may contain story spoilers. You were warned. Right now, we're talking to Mackenzie Lee, author of a story called There Is Always Another. Mackenzie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is surreal to be talking about a Star Wars thing that I wrote for Star Wars and not for fanfiction.net.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Ghost Obi-Wan is our perspective here. What made you pick him? And how does writing from the perspective of a recently deceased protagonist change your approach?
I came of age at a time when my primary Star Wars exposure was the prequels. So I saw the original trilogy when I was a kid, but the prequels were coming out when I was of the perfect age to be consuming them. In that I was young enough that I was just so excited there was more Star Wars, and so excited as a kid to have more of a series that I didn't think I'd ever get more of. Like, I thought we just kind of had these three movies. And I say this with no shade to Star Wars, because I love the prequels. I was also young enough to not recognize some of the flaws that other people seem to find in them. I was just so excited about Star Wars, and I've always carried that kind of love for the prequels from my childhood. And as a kid, I was not a very good reader, but one of the only like book series or kinds of books that I really enjoyed and found that I could consume were the Scholastic Book Order Star Wars Jedi Apprentice series, which is about young Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon training before the events of Phantom Menace. And then another series called Jedi Quest, which is about Obi-Wan and Anakin training between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. And so my primary Star Wars characters, love, everything was Anakin and Obi-Wan, and especially Obi-Wan. And I mean, as a kid, I really related to Anakin as just like a young person with too many feelings that I didn't always know what to do with. But Obi-Wan was sort of the most constant presence throughout all of my Star Wars, in that he was there in the prequels, he's there in the old movies, the original trilogy. And then he was there in all the books that I read. And so I think Obi-Wan's just kind of been always for me a very like focal point of my Star Wars experience and the lens through which I view Star Wars. And then as I've become older and I think I've got more of an appreciation for his entire journey over the course of the trilogy. And he's one of the few characters I think that we really follow from his first moments to his last in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty unique among Star Wars in that we see such an extensive range of his life.
And he goes through such a huge evolution over that, in that you start with him as a very young teenager who's trying to follow the rules and trying to be part of this order. And then you have, he gets Anakin, he gets this sort of like, he's like suddenly a weird dad as this child he didn't ask for and doesn't really like it first, which I think is delightful and funny. And so he's like, got to train this kid. And in, I think, Anakin's questions about the Jedi Order, because he's not been raised within it, Obi-Wan also starts to develop kind of questions. And you can see a little bit in the movies and more in the extended universe, you see too how the treatment of Anakin sort of starts to cause cracks in Obi-Wan's foundational beliefs in the Jedi Order. And he's kind of torn between this order that he's a part of and that he loves and has shaped his fundamental views of the world, and then this person he loves and how he sees this system mistreating the person he loves. And for me, that was also like a really relatable thing. And then we see him older as he's sort of left the Jedi behind and has more, he's not left them. I mean, I guess he left them by force because they're gone. But he's had more space to sort of question the beliefs that he was raised with and figure out what he actually believes in and what was just like told to him over and over as a kid. And that's something I related really in a sort of unique way to, as someone who was raised very, very religious. And then as an adult have sort of started, sorry, this is getting into, I guess the Jedi Order can be religious. We can talk about religion.
Yeah, no, this is great.
All there. But yeah, as someone who was raised very religious, I've started to now as an adult question in the same way Obi-Wan does, like, what do I actually believe and what was just told to me a lot when I was a young person? So to go back to your like way original question 35 minutes ago, Obi-Wan is just he's my foundational Star Wars character, and he's sort of my North Star in all the Star Wars that I love. So I got dibs on him as fast as I could.
Right. And I think, you know, the real challenge that you super rose to in this story is taking all of those elements of his like youth and his adulthood and his old disillusionment and revisiting them all right here at the end and bringing them all into one voice. Could you talk about any challenges with that?
I mean, the challenge is taking an entire lifetime and then boiling it down into a 3,000 word short story.
Not easy.
There was so much I could have included. There's so much I wanted to include. It was a challenge to edit. It was a challenge to encompass all of those pieces of Obi-Wan and sort of. I think it's hard to take a character at the end of their life and acknowledge everywhere they've been and everything that got them to that place while also keeping them firmly rooted in the present. And so balancing the past and present of Obi-Wan was a challenge, but again, he's someone I feel like I know very well. So it was a challenge that was really fun to take on.
There was also, I think, sort of parallel to that challenge, the challenge of balancing emotion and humor. Like we have like sassy Obi-Wan and we have Obi-Wan with like this much more emotional core, which I think was where we ultimately ended up like focusing on. So could you talk about what that was like trying to balance the humor and emotion of this
story? I initially pitched the story to you guys as being like Obi-Wan being over it in heaven and just being like, can't get out of here fast enough. Skywalker is like, I'm dead and I still have to put up with this. And that was sort of for me, I was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be so funny. And then as soon as I tried to start writing that, the humor ended up feeling more forced because the place I kept wandering was back to Anakin and Obi-Wan's relationship. And I think partly because my like Star Wars love is so foundational in Anakin and Obi-Wan's relationship. And that was like I said, that was the fan fiction I wrote when I was a younger person. I had invested so much in their relationship and Obi-Wan's invested so much in that relationship that it inevitably kept kind of wandering back there. And it's a more emotional place. It's a more, there's more sort of hard emotions there, like regret and, Obi-Wan sort of having to confront his own, his complicitness in the fall of the Jedi and the rise of Darth Vader. And also he just like, he lost his best friend. He lost somebody he raised and, someone they, as a Jedi master and Padawan, you've lived together for like 10 years and you're doing these missions and you're saving each other and you're fighting and you're like picking up each other's laundry. And there's all sorts of layers to this relationship that I think when I tried to lean more into the humor, it's like steering into, like I was trying to steer in, no, I don't drive, so I don't know what the steer into the skid thing. But as I tried to drive into the humor, it kept like pushing me back into the emotions. And I think too, as I was trying to use humor, I realized that I was trying to use the humor to cover up real emotions, which is probably something Obi-Wan would do and is something that we've seen him do and something that he's very much beloved for, is that sort of like sassy streak. But the real emotions had to be there more foundationally and more on the surface to sort of justify the presence of the humor, or else it's just stupid, dumb humor for no reason.
I think one of the things that most struck me throughout the process of this was the through line just emerging between Luke and Anakin in a way that I had never really considered before. Just talking about the floppy-haired kid wanting to go out and save the world, and Obi-Wan looking at that like through the ages. Was that as like the story was coming together, did you take that and sort of elevate it up further?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been more invested in Obi-Wan and Anakin's relationship than I ever was in Obi-Wan and Luke's relationship. And I think part of that is because Obi-Wan and Luke have like half a movie together, and Anakin and Obi-Wan in my brain had all these movies plus these like huge book series that I read in between them. And so there was just more there for me. But as I was working on the story, and as I was sort of pivoting the focus a little bit more to be about Obi-Wan and Anakin, I kept realizing that the things I was writing were also applicable to Luke, and how jarring that must be. Like, obviously Obi-Wan knew this was going to happen, that eventually he's got Anakin's kid, he's watching over him. Eventually Luke's gonna like grow up and Obi-Wan's gonna have to go introduce himself. But how jarring must it be to have your best friend's kid who you like, your best friend who you lost in this terrible, tragic way, and who you are still sort of mourning, and watching him make terrible decisions all over the galaxy and watching so many people suffer because of him, and knowing that you were sort of complicit in this fall and where he is now, and then to have his kid show up on your doorstep and be like, okay, so I have the same like high emotions, floppy hair, sort of like there, lots of spirit, want to do the right thing, but don't always know how to do the right thing. And it's like almost like for Obi-Wan, I think it's almost like getting visited by a ghost, and getting visited by a younger version of Anakin. And yeah, the parallels sort of wrote themselves in a lot of weird ways. Like I didn't intentionally set out. I think at first I wanted to do a story about funny ghost Obi-Wan, and then it became a story about Obi-Wan and Anakin, and then it became a story about Obi-Wan and Anakin and Luke. And so it naturally evolved as I was writing it.
It really evolved into something gorgeous. Like I love this story.
Thank you. It is, as someone who read pretty much exclusively Star Wars chapter books as a kid and spent so much time writing fan fiction and learning how to be a writer through fan fiction, the fact that I got to do this and got to write from Obi-Wan's perspective is mind-blowing to me. Like, truly a career highlight. I wish I could go back in time and tell like my 10-year-old self, be like, we did it, kid. You're here.
Thank you for writing it for us. And thank you also for appearing here today to talk about it.
Of course. If anyone, just like a blanket invitation, if anyone wants to just slide into my DMs and talk about the prequels, talk about Anakin and Obi-Wan, like literally always here for it.
As a voracious prequel defender myself, I might take you up on that. Thanks, Mackenzie, and thank you also for listening. You can read There Is Always Another and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, available now from all your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download. Thank you, and may the Force be with you.